specific time given or specific date given for the Lord's birth. We do not place great emphasis on dates, especially when they are not recorded in the Scripture. Yet, the fact of the Lord's birth is recorded, and we should consider that great fact, that great subject of the incarnation of the Lord. Second chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born, and you'll notice it is written as a fact, when Jesus was born. This actually happened. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. We're not told how many wise men there were, but we know there was more than one. They came from the east to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east." His star, in other words, the star that they associated with the birth of the Messiah. And that, of course, is mentioned in the book of Numbers. There shall come a star out of Jacob, the star of Jacob. And so these men from the east have been waiting for the coming of the Savior. And they associated his entrance into this world with the appearance of a star. And now this star is seen, and they say, "We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And you'll notice in their response, there is no uncertainty. They're absolutely certain. They said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." And they're quoting now from the prophecy of Micah. "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Now Herod speaks of the Christ, the Christos, the Anointed One. And the word Christ is the Greek word that translates the Hebrew word Messiah. They both mean the Anointed One. But now when they're quoting from the Scripture, the word governor is used. And one that shall rule my people Israel. The wise men speak of the king. Herod speaks of the Christ. And now, quoting from the Scripture, the scribes speak of the governor. Then Herod, when he had privily or secretly called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had first appeared to them. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child." And you'll notice there that Herod, some time has elapsed between the birth of Christ and the time that it took these men to travel to Jerusalem. And he refers to the young child, not the baby, not the infant, but the young child. "And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." They had made their intention clear to Herod. They have come to worship him. And Herod gives this appearance of being willing and intent on worshipping him also. "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house," notice this is not the manger or the stable environment, but the house. And the others have left, they've gone back to their home towns. And Bethlehem is not as busy as it was during the time of the census, and so Mary and Joseph are able to move into a more permanent structure, into the house. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. They did not worship Mary, but they worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of His word. I want to take verse number 13 as the basis of a few thoughts this evening. The Lord appeared, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. Be thou there until I bring thee word. Now the birth of the Lord Jesus changed the lives of Joseph and Mary dramatically. The birth of any child will bring great change to the home and to the family. But in this case, the birth of the Lord Jesus brought momentous change. And you can see here, just from the detail that is given, that in the case of Joseph and Mary, they could not return to their home city of Nazareth for a period of time because of the circumstances of the birth of Christ. The wrath of Herod is provoked to such an extent that he intends to kill this child that the wise men have come seeking. And consequently, the angel of the Lord instructs Joseph to take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. So he has set out, they have set out to go to Bethlehem to fulfill the census, knowing that Mary is going to give birth. But I'm sure they were thinking that a little time may have passed and then they would return to Nazareth and everything would be relatively back to normal. But little did they know that their life was going to be changed dramatically. And now they find themselves having to go to Egypt, a strange country in which they were strangers. We're not told exactly how long they were there, but they were there for a period of time, which indicates the fact that their life was changed. Their life was dramatically changed as a consequence of the birth of the Lord Jesus. And now they find themselves in some sense as fugitives. They're fleeing from King Herod, the wrath of the king, and they're seeking shelter. They are really, in a sense, refugees in the land of Egypt. And so this is just an indication of how their lives were changed as a result of the birth of the Lord Jesus. But the key factor here is given to us in verse number 13, because this great change in their circumstances highlighted the will of God, highlighted the purpose of God. This wasn't about the will of Joseph or Mary. It wasn't about their desires. It wasn't even about their life. It was about Christ. It was about the Lord Jesus. Take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Their circumstances were now being directed, overruled, overseen, controlled because of the Lord Jesus. And when anybody is brought into union with Christ, his will becomes central so that our lives revolve around him. It's not the Lord who revolves around us. It is our life that revolves around him. And the Lord said to Joseph on this occasion, "Arise, flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word." And those words, I believe, are tremendous words, not only highlighting the circumstance that had now been brought about, but they also demonstrate the significance, the prominence of the will of God. You'll notice there's three particular characteristics brought here. First of all, there's a place appointed. Flee into Egypt and be thou there. Notice the word there, indicating a place that was appointed. There's a time that was determined. Be thou there until. For a set time, for a period of time that would be determined by the Lord. And then you'll notice the means that was revealed. Until I bring thee word again. Until I bring thee word. The word by which their steps would then be directed. The Lord is directing Joseph's steps to the place of divine appointment. There's a place appointed. Arise and flee into Egypt and be thou there. Be thou there. God appointed the place where he was to dwell, where he was to live for that period of time. Now, in one sense, divine providence appoints our dwelling place. And that's an appointment that we have no choice concerning. You remember what Paul said when he was speaking to the people on Mars Hill in Acts 17. And he relates to them the fact that we're made of one blood. And God has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. In other words, the Lord appointed where we would be born. We had no say in that matter. We had no choice in the matter. The Lord appointed where we would be born, where we would dwell. And so in that sense, providence governs the boundary of our habitation, where we live. There are other circumstances, there are other influences that also direct our dwelling place. If you think here in the context of Matthew 2, Mary and Joseph have come to Bethlehem because Caesar has moved or has called for this census to be taken, and every man must go back to his home city, the city of his birth or where his family came from. And so they find themselves in Bethlehem at that time because of the action of someone else. But in this instance, this decision to go into Egypt was something that the Lord directed Joseph to do personally. Look at the word in verse, or the singular that's used in verse 13. The Lord says to him, "And be thou." He doesn't use the plural, he uses the singular. "And be thou there until I bring thee." Word again. And so the singular is being used here, and the thought is that Joseph, as a result of his connection to Christ, his union with Christ, is now brought into a place where he must choose the place of God's appointment. The Lord makes the place clear to him. The Lord makes the location clear to him. "Flee into Egypt. That's the place where I want you to be." And Joseph now must surrender to the Lord. He must submit to the Lord. It's a recognition that the Lord had a place for him, a place where the Lord wanted him to be. And so it is with all the Lord's people. Psalm 37, verse 23, the psalmist David says in that psalm, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." And what are our steps? Our steps bring us to a location. They bring us to a certain place. And what the Lord is saying through David is this: I have a place where I want my people to be. And he directs the steps of his people. They are ordered by the Lord, the very place where the Lord wants us to be. How true that is in relation to our service and our ministry for the Lord. This was a service for the Lord. The Lord was giving to Joseph this particular service. He was to protect, he was to provide for the Lord Jesus in the days of his childhood. This is a service that the Lord is giving to Joseph, and the Lord directs the place. He appoints the place where that service is to be exercised. Turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26 and the verse number 17. Paul relates here the time of his conversion, the circumstance of his conversion when the Lord appears to him on the Damascus Road. And in verse 16, the Lord said to him on that occasion, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee." And the Lord is not only showing Paul what he wanted him to do, but he's also appointing where he will serve the Lord. It will not be in the land of Israel. It will be among the Gentiles. If you turn back to Acts chapter 22, Acts chapter 22 and verse number 17, after his conversion, he eventually came to Jerusalem. In verse 17, "It came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. The Lord is showing Paul that he has a service for him, and that service is to be rendered in a certain place. It wouldn't be in the land of Israel. It would be among the Gentiles, in the Gentile nations. The Lord said to Joseph, Flee into Egypt and be thou there. That's the place, Joseph, where my will is for you at this particular point. The Lord had appointed a place. If we think of this in the context of the Lord Jesus had a certain ministry to fulfill, and he had a certain place. This is the only time when the Lord Jesus stepped outside the borders of the land of Israel. He said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 24, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The place of his service, the place of his ministry was in the land of Israel. And he didn't go outside of the borders of the land of Israel. And even in the person of our Lord himself, we find the truth illustrated, the place appointed. And the Lord has a place for his people. He has a service for us to do. And that service is to be carried out in the place of his appointment. As a truth that needs emphasized in this day, especially among Christians, the great need to be in the place where the Lord would have us to be, the place that the Lord appoints. It's not left to us. We are to be submitted to the will of God, and the will of God will have a place for the service that he gives us, the ministry that he gives us. The Lord will have a place where he wants us to be. Be thou there, there, in that place that I have appointed. But then you'll notice the time that is determined. The Lord said, Be thou there until, and that little word until signifies a period of time. God not only appointed the place, but he determined the length of time that Joseph and Mary, with the Christ child, would dwell in the land of Egypt. We're not told how long it was. It continued until the death of Herod. But the point to notice here is that the Lord determined the time. He determined the duration. It wasn't left to Joseph to decide. Joseph's duty was to wait until the Lord sent him word. And there's a lesson in recognizing that our times are in God's hands. In other words, he's sovereign of our time. He's sovereign. And the Lord says, I want you to be there until I tell thee otherwise, until I direct thee otherwise, until the time is appointed. There's a lesson in sovereignty, but there's also a lesson in wisdom. This waiting time was until Herod was dead. And Joseph didn't know when it would be safe to return. He didn't know the best time. But the Lord knew. The Lord knew that Herod was going to die. In verse 15, we're told there, or the Lord says, Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And verse 15, when they went, he was there until the death of Herod. And when we come down to verse number 20, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." And the Lord is now informing Joseph that the threat has been removed, that Herod is dead, and it is now safe to return to the land of Israel. And therein we can recognize the wisdom of God. God's timing is always governed by divine wisdom. God's timing is always governed by divine wisdom. Our problem is we either run behind the Lord or we run away in front of the Lord. But keeping in step with God's time will always yield to us the benefit of divine wisdom. God knows. And the Lord knew the exact amount of time that they would have to dwell in the land of Egypt. Joseph simply had to wait until the Lord said otherwise. There was a time determined. But you'll notice finally the means that was revealed here. The Lord said, "Be thou there until I bring thee word." How would he know the time to leave Egypt? How would he know? Well, the Lord instructs him, "Until I speak, until I bring thee word," until the word of God. We're not left to impressions. We're not left to our imagination. We're not left to trying to figure it out by ourselves. No, it's the Word of God that guides. The Lord uses His Word as that means by which He guides us. And we're told in verse 19, "An angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel." There's no vagueness there. There's no uncertainty there. It's absolutely crystal clear. It's time to leave. It's time to go back to the land of Israel. The Lord highlights the very place. The Word of God made it clear. The Word of God was the means of guidance, the means of direction. And so it is for the Lord's people. The Lord has a place appointed where He wants us to be, that we might serve Him. He appoints and determines the time, and our steps are to be directed by His Word. When the Lord speaks, we should never move until the Lord speaks, until the Lord makes it crystal clear. And the Lord never guides us in a way that leaves us thinking, "Well, what was that the Lord was saying?" The Lord never speaks in such a vague or an indecisive manner. The Lord's guidance here was crystal clear. The Lord said, "Arise, go into the land of Israel." The word of the Lord settled the matter. And isn't it interesting what Joseph's response was in both settings? Come back up to verse 13. This message comes to Joseph in a dream during the night. "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee into Egypt." Verse 14, "When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night." And the sense of that is that when he received this message in a dream, he awoke, and immediately he awoke Mary, and he said, "It's time to go." And they went by night. They didn't even wait until the sun rose. They went immediately. They went immediately. Does that not suggest prompt obedience to what the Lord said? Likewise, verse 21, he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Joseph is very often one of those characters in Scripture who really fades out, as it were, out of the scene. And there's very little that's said about him. And yet when you look at these references, you find a man who was submitted to the will of God, who recognized the role and the work that the Lord had given him to do, and he gives himself wholly to it, and he obeys the Lord promptly, going into Egypt. And then when the command comes to return, he immediately arises and he goes back to Israel. And when he comes back in verse 22, when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. So he's just a man, and he's subject to like passions, and he's afraid, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. And there you see again this submission to the will of God, being guided by the Lord. And he doesn't let his own fear stand in the way, notwithstanding, even though he was afraid, when he had the word of God, when he had the guidance of God, he acts promptly and he follows through with what the Lord requires him to do. So many, many lessons for us, so many pointers that are valuable and profitable in the spiritual life are found in the account of the Lord's incarnation and his birth. And what a picture there is here. What a picture, what a characteristic of obedience is set before us in the case of Joseph. May the Lord help us to learn from his example and for our benefit. Let's